Small businesses are the cornerstones of our local communities, and small business owners are hardworking and passionate people who are chasing down their ambitions while there's a lot on the line. So, let Verizon champion your small business dreams. Whether you own a small business, are scaling one, or starting one from scratch, you need Verizon Small Business Days. From April 22nd through April 28th, you can partner with Verizon business experts for small business support. During Verizon Small Business Days, you can receive a free tech check with a one-on-one meeting with a Verizon business expert. Plus, Verizon business experts will provide you with personalized advice and solutions that are tailored to your specific small business needs. Take advantage of special offers and deals during Verizon Small Business Days and get more for your business. Verizon, well, they've got you back. Don't miss out. Book an appointment today. Just call 1-800-483-4428 or go to verizon.com/small business.
So why do you want to learn a new language?
I'll tell you why. Because ¿dónde está el baño? Can be a very important question at times. You know, Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. Fast track your language acquisition with immersive lessons designed to teach you to pick up languages in a natural way. I love the fact that I can go from my laptop to my phone to pretty much anywhere and learn the language of my choice. Not to mention, I'm bringing my communication skills to new heights. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a limited time, StarTalk Radio listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/starttalk. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/starttalk today.
I'm Gary O'Reilly.
I'm Chuck Nice.
And this is Playing with Science. This is part two of our look at the fast and furious world of ice hockey. Part one, we lit up the net with the science of the shot and stick engineering. And today we punch through even deeper into the science of the fastest and toughest sport there is.
Yeah, and helping us with the slippery subject of physics on ice, we'll welcome back physics professor Alan Hache, who's also the author of Slapshot Science and the Physics of Hockey. Alan is going to help us understand just how much force it's going to take to flatten your opponent against those boards. Uh-huh. And who's not going to want to know that, okay? I'll tell you who. Me. We're even going to throw in the science behind the ice itself.
Yeah.
No extra charge.
There you go. Lucky you. Once we've done that, we'll be chatting once again with our good friend and VP of product at Bauer Hockey, Craig Desjardins. Only this time, we're going to focus on the tech in the skates themselves.
Yeah, and finally, we're going to hear from the captain of the New York Riveters, a mechanical engineer and a shutdown defenseman who's not a man at all. We're talking about Ashley Johnston. I love this woman. This woman is a hero of mine. I'm sorry, people. She's into STEM. She is an athlete. She is the captain of her team. This is going to be a great show.
She's an inspiration. So stay tuned. Just like the ice, it's pretty cool stuff. So last show, we got into the tech with the stick.
Right.
Really opened it up, learned a lot about that. Professor gave us what was going on in the slap shot, the pass, everything else around it. Now we're going to get into the skates, and there's some real cutting edge stuff regarding the skates.
I see what you did there.
Did you
see that?
Thank you very much.
Skates, cutting edge stuff.
Thank you. They don't just throw this show together, you know. So we've got that. Plus, as we said there, the professor's going to give us an insight into collision.
Yeah.
And we know it's not a contact sport. Hockey is a collision sport.
Gosh, you have said a mouthful there, man, because I got to tell you something. I look at these collisions, and The last collision that I watched, and I spent some time because I wanted to find a clip for us to get into the show with.
Yeah.
So I've been watching like hockey collisions for 2 days now, and I am pretty sure I have a concussion just from watching. This is insane. These guys are crazy. Some of the biggest hits I have ever seen, and I'm a huge football fan.
Mm-hmm.
I love when guys level each other on the playing field of football. These dudes, it looks personal. I'm waiting for the guy to start going through his pockets and take his money the way they lay these guys out. It is insane. I feel just a little bit less of a man, Gary. That's what I'm trying to tell you. It kind of hurts. I think I'm going to take up gardening.
Ah, dear. Okay. It's quite simple. It's not a sport for the faint-hearted. You're going to have to be brave. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to be tough. And it's probably why they wear padding. All right. Well, Chuck recovers.
Judging from my last statements, I too wear a pad.
Oh no! Too much information.
Too far.
All right. Let's get that piece of audio now.
So we're going to take a look at Scott Stevens of the New Jersey Devils, who is known to be one of the hardest hitting players in NHL history. This guy is a beast. But what is scary is that in this particular clip, as they cross the blue line, Slava Kozlov is in front of the net and he has a shot on goal.
Right.
Now, of course, Stevens is a defenseman. And so he's like, my job is to make sure you don't even take the shot.
That's what he does.
And so what he does is he comes across ice and wham, he levels this guy. And when I say level him, I mean, not only does Kozlov collapse like a cheap card table, but he is knocked out. I mean, knocked out cold.
Okay, but before we run the clip, I have to say, when we come back, Chuck will be behind the desk, worried.
No,
worried.
Forget worried. I'm going to tell you right now.
It's okay.
I watched this, and I felt a little bit of my manhood drain out of me. I was like, this is not cool, man.
You're going to take up gardening?
I'm taking up gardening now. This is not like this. Not, this should not be legal. This is a sport where a guy can come across the ice, hit you in such a way that it's clean and legal, knock you out, and people come over to him and go, yo, man, that was awesome.
But everybody plays by the same rules. So that's why hockey is such a popular sport.
All right. Well, let's take a look at Scott Stevens in action.
Detroit back in. Oh, Stevens stepped up, nailed him. Brodeur's got the puck. What a shot. Is that Rouse?
Oh, lights out.
No, that is Kozlov.
Oh, baby. The one guy in this league. Oh. I'm telling you, Victor Kozlov does not look like he is with us right now. What a smack.
Scott Stevens, if you ask players around the league who's got the hardest hit, here's your answer.
Woo! See what he does before he makes contact. Stick goes down.
Stick goes down.
Otherwise, sticks up. He's out.
Well, yeah. Now that's a penalty.
Yeah.
So yeah, but I mean, woo.
See, so quite often the guys will anticipate the fact that if I'm near the puck, I'm getting hit.
Mm-hmm.
your natural spider senses kick in.
Right.
But he never saw that coming. Yeah,
well, you know, it's so funny. He was so. He was so focused on taking the shot. He was about to make a shot, and he really had a nice shot on goal, and never happened. So let's bring in now somebody who can hopefully help me.
Okay. All right. While Chuck takes a deep breath, I will introduce someone we are familiar with from our first show, Professor Alain Haché from Moncton University in Canada,
yes.
Author of Slapshot Science and the Physics of Ice Hockey. Alain, welcome back. You saw that clip.
Oh.
Are you in the, yeah, that's what happened school, or are you with Chuck?
Yeah, that's not a pleasant experience, I'm sure, for Kozlov there.
No, oh, thanks for the overstatement there, Dr. Haché.
I like it.
Way to get in there with a controversial statement.
So, okay, I mean, there's different types of collisions in the game or sport of hockey. Now, I can see a big guy hit a smaller guy and the big guy bounces off.
Mm.
Now, I'm looking at that saying, I don't quite understand what happened there, but there must be some basic laws of physics that means that actually can happen.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, when you look at a collision, the force on each player or each bodies that collide is always the same. That's called action-reaction.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So it's always the same force, except that if you're a lighter body, you'll accelerate much more faster. So you'll suffer a bigger displacement or...
All right.
You know, if you have a small car against trucks, and they'll experience the same force, but because the truck is much heavier, the guy inside will not notice as much. So yeah, if the smaller guy is going faster than the bigger guy, then, you know, you might have a chance to knock him over. But yes, indeed, there are different types of collisions. The mid-ice collisions that we saw with Scott Stevens are fairly rare. They're dangerous.
Yes.
Yeah. Most collisions happen along the board.
Right.
So when you have an almost stationary player against the board, and then the other guy comes, and then you have this absorption by the board, because the boards will tend to move a little bit, so you will not suffer as much impact.
So now, are you saying that from a standpoint of physics, when a player is up against the boards and you hear that crash and you hear the sound of the board making the thunderous kind of warble, that the board itself is acting as a shock absorber for the one player hitting the other player?
Yes. So the bigger the distance, okay, the smaller the force.
Okay. Okay.
So actually being hit against the boards...
It's better.
I like the idea. It's safer.
It's safer.
Because I know where it's my safer position is. I'm playing on the outside.
Yeah.
The
ring. So now, is that because all of the impact is absorbed by the player when you are on center or open ice? Like, what is the physical difference that makes... just from a physics standpoint, give me the physics difference between the two of them that makes the board safer.
So in the mid-ice collision, you have two guys coming a lot of times in opposite directions at approximately equal speed.
Okay.
So that makes the relative speed much higher. Whereas against the board, then you have a guy which is already against the board, so he cannot move further, and then one other guy comes and hits him. So the relative velocity is less in the second case.
So from a physics equation, it's the relative velocity that is the factor here that's at play. So
yes.
In the open ice, the relative velocity is higher, so the hit is more devastating. Against the board, no matter what you do, the relative velocity will be lower, and so the hit is not as devastating.
Yep, you got it.
Wow.
So when we talk to NFL guys, particularly linemen, they always talk about the low guy wins when they're tackling, when they're hitting at the line of scrimmage. Do we have a similar scenario in hockey where the guy with the lower center of gravity can make a more devastating hit on maybe a bigger guy?
Yes. Although there's not that big of a difference in height between players, mm-hmm. oftentimes, so it wouldn't. There's quite a bit difference in size. But what will happen sometimes? One guy will crouch over, okay, so go lower, and that's very dangerous because the other guy will get absorb all the impact on his hips or his legs, and that's quite dangerous.
Yeah, and you've seen that where guys get low bridge and you see them go flying; they just take flight. You know, let's kind of switch gears now and go from the end of this thing, which is the collision, to how it starts, which is the skating. Give us just an elementary breakdown of the physics of skating. What is happening when someone is skating?
Well, it's a little bit complicated, but one could say that the main difference between skating and running is that during skating, your foot is not going at the speed as the ice is going under you. Whereas running, you have to move your feet as fast as you're running. But in skating, because you're pushing sideways like this, the side motion of the skate is much slower than the actual speed of the player. So that's how they propel themselves. They will put their blades slightly open like this and mm-hmm. then start pushing side to side, exerting force, propelling themselves forward.
So they have to push back to go forwards?
They have to push back to go forwards,
okay.
Yes. Yeah, they have to. you can attain much higher speeds because you have low friction. It's very slippery. And because of that fact that you don't have to move your feet as fast as you're running, that's the main difference here. But it takes a certain technique because if you want to accelerate fast, then you have to bend your knee. You have to get low in order to be lower your center of gravity in order to propel yourself faster. Sometimes you see kids, they try to go fast, but they're staying up straight up like mm-hmm, this. And that's right. Very difficult to accelerate.
Can you skate as quick backwards as you can forwards? And if not, why not?
Oh, very good question. No, you can't. Right. You can skate quite fast, but you can never... it's just the way the leg is designed. It's designed to move a certain way. Uh-huh. So the knee bends forward. If it was the other way around, I assume that we could skate backward as fast. But it's not a symmetrical situation where if you turn around, you cannot exert the same power as if you're skating forward.
Okay, so thank you for breaking down the physics in skating. Without the ice itself, this is a particularly different game.
A little tough to do this in a pool of water. But
you, thank you. You're in Canada, and they tell me that you are blessed with the best ice. Why? How? Please explain.
I'm not sure that's true necessarily. I think...
Well, let me put it to you this way. Growing up in Canada, I know a guy, he now lives in Vermont, but he skates on ponds, and he played hockey growing up, skating outdoors on a solidly frozen pond. And when you look at the ice inside of a stadium, I'm trying to figure out how they keep this ice so hard with the body heat of 20,000 people. It's indoors, and sometimes it's summertime. So, is there a difference in fast and slow ice? Ice that is so frozen solid, so hard, like that of the ice that's 3.5 feet thick on a pond, and the ice in an arena, which is only a few inches thick. So is there a difference between fast and slow ice?
Yeah, it's true that you want to keep the ice at a temperature of around, say, -7 to -10 degrees Celsius. So that would be around the 20s, I guess, in Celsius. If it gets too warm, close to the melting temperature, it gets soft. And then when you're skating on it, you're digging deep into the ice, and that slows the skate. If it's too cold, then the friction coefficient is not as good. It's not as slippery when it's really, really cold.
Okay.
But so they want to keep it at a certain temperature, and it's absolutely true that it's difficult to do that in a stadium outside. I remember there was a game in Pittsburgh outside, Penguins, and I forgot the other team, but it was a challenge because it was rainy on top of that, and the rain falls on the ice and makes kind of like it makes it slushy. And it's very difficult to get good ice outdoor at any condition. The indoor ice usually is much better.
Am I right, Ella, in there being conflicting theories of how you're able to skate across the surface of the ice? One being pressure, the other being vibrating molecules on the surface. Is one theory going to be debunked, or is it a case of maybe it's the two together?
Yeah, it turns out that ice itself, if you look at it with microscopes, very powerful microscopes, and you look at actual water molecules, they're actually on the top surface, they're very mobile. So it's all right. Almost like a semi-liquid type thing. Ice is by itself wet. You don't have the surface of it is wet, even if it's microscopically thick. It's very, very thin, but it's there, and that's what makes ice slippery. It's a very unique material because we don't know very many other solids that are as slippery as ice. But because of that, we have winter sports. Without that, winter sports would be not possible.
Am I right in saying the molecules vibrate vertically rather than horizontally? Because if they were horizontal, it would just be a liquid surface?
No, they vibrate in all directions. It's just that they're not attached. The molecules that are under the ice have neighbors everywhere, and they're linked. They have bonds, they're held into place, whereas the ones at the top, They don't have anything upstairs, so they're kind of dangling there. And
sounds
that's
like
what
me. Alan, thank you for putting me right on that one, because there's, you know, there's a lot of sort of written evidence about molecules vibrating, but right. We have a definitive explanation there from a professor.
Who knew they were actually vibrating? Yeah. This is good news.
Absolutely.
I don't know why. I'm not sure why that's good news, but it is. So they indeed are vibrating.
Yes.
Which is cool. But that brings us to the second, not theory, but postulate, which we heard from our own Dr. Neil deGrasse Tyson about how the blade on the actual ice surface creates a pressure that causes a molecular change in the ice to an actual extremely thin layer of water that causes the skate to then glide on a sheet of water, which immediately refreezes once the skate has passed over it. Is that also true?
Yes. So what you're referring to is what's called pressure melting of ice.
Okay.
There's actually a very neat experiment you can do. You take a long blot of ice and then you attach a copper wire around it and you suspend two masses. And the weight of the masses will make the wire cut into the ice because it's melting right under the wire, turns into water. And then right on top, it becomes ice again. So the wire will just cut through the ice and will fall down. And the ice will be intact.
Ice will still be a block of ice.
Yes. Okay. So, yes, this happens under a skate as well. So if you're looking at the sharp edges of the blade, you have a very, very small area and a lot of force applied. So you can melt the ice. And that's probably playing a factor as well, except that it cannot explain why, say, a puck, which has a big area under and it is very light, can also slide on the ice fairly easily with almost exactly the same friction coefficient.
Ah.
And that explains it. So ice itself is slippery, but you can help it by, liquefying some of a layer of water on top. That will help lubricating the surface. But without it, even with low pressure, something can slide easily on the ice.
Oh, there you have it. So we have a both and.
Yeah, both.
Yes.
So we have a both and, not an either or.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, this is awesome. We are solving the problems of the world right here, okay? That's all I'm saying. This is wonderful.
Professor, with your experience as a player, with your knowledge as an expert in the field of physics, can you see hockey embracing science to take itself even further forward as a sport?
I think it's under a lot of help by the industry. There's technological improvements every year. They come up with new products. We were talking about collision before. Well, there's better equipment, new materials that can use as paddings, new types of materials for skate blades, new design in the boots, new sticks, etc. So I think there is a lot of improvement in the sport by companies that provide equipment. There's also improvements in the way they measure hockey players. They acquire a lot of data now, just their position on the ice, how fast they go. Maybe they get tired, they slow down a little bit, and then they analyze those data. But those are things teams will do, like professional teams. They'll do that to try to optimize their team as best as they can.
Awesome. Wow, man. Well, thank you so much.
Absolutely.
This has been absolutely fascinating and quite a little education.
It's been revelational. Professor Alan Haché, thank you so much for your time. Been a pleasure to have you on our show. Please, listeners, go and check out the professor's books, Slapshot Science and the Physics of Hockey. If you've enjoyed listening to him, I'm sure you'll be interested and thrilled reading his work. We will take a break. And just as the professor touched on before, interesting technological developments in the equipment. And who better to tell us about it but Craig Desjardins at Bauer Hockey to discuss all of that next on Playing with Science. Do not go away.
This podcast is supported by FedEx. Dear small and medium businesses, no one wants happy customers more than you do. So you need a business partner just like you, like FedEx, who understands your passion for serving your customers because they have the same commitment towards you. That's why FedEx offers you picture proof of delivery, packageless and paperless returns, as well as weekend home delivery to 98% of the US on Saturday and 50% on Sunday. See the FedEx service guide for delivery information. What's more, FedEx Ground is faster to more locations than UPS Ground. Trust FedEx for timely deliveries. See what FedEx can do for your business. Absolutely, positively, FedEx.
Whether you're a family vacation traveler, business tripper, or long weekend adventurer, Choice Hotels has a stay for any you. And that's good, because there are a lot of me's. Choice Hotels has over 7,400 locations and 22 brands, including Comfort Hotels, Radisson Hotels, and Cambria Hotels. Get the best value for your money when you book with Choice Hotels. Cambria Hotels feature locally inspired hotel bars with specialty cocktails and downtown locations in the center of it all. Hey, that's me. Radisson Hotels have flexible workspaces to get the most of your business travel and on-site restaurants. That's me, too. And at Comfort Hotels, you'll enjoy free hot breakfast with fresh waffles, great pools for the entire family, and spacious rooms. Hey, that's me, too. I guess I'm just going to have to stay at all of them. Choice Hotels has a stay for any you. Book direct at choicehotels.com, where travel comes true.
Do you want to set up your child for success? Of course you do. Maybe you want to save money on private tutoring, or maybe it's just out of your budget altogether. Is this a big school year for your child? Like maybe they're starting kindergarten, middle school, or high school, or some other milestone. Maybe your family moved and they're starting at a new school. Is your child ahead? Not getting challenged enough in class? Well, we love that little smarty, but we want them to be engaged. IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids covering math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed to help them really understand and master topics in a fun way. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid, no matter the age or the personality. There's one site for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. Kids can use it at home on the computer or on the go through the app on your phone or your tablet. No more grading those worksheets. IXL grades everything itself. And no more trying to figure out how to explain math equations or grammar rules yourself. IXL has built-in explanation videos. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And Star Talk Radio listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/StarTalk. Visit IXL.com/StarTalk to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Welcome back. I'm Gary O'Reilly.
And I'm Chuck Nice.
And this is Playing with Science. Yes, you know that because you're so tuned in and you're here from the beginning. And today, as you know, we are exploring the world of hockey, a.k.a.
Physics on ice. Not to be confused with Disney on Ice, no. Which is not nearly as good.
No, not at all. No, and now joining us by video call to break down all the technology that goes into Skate the Dine. And if you just think it's a boot with a blade, you're so wrong. Stick around. Craig the Dine and the Vice President of Product of Bauer Hockey will tell you otherwise. Craig, good to have you back on show two, my friend.
Thanks
welcome.
For coming back, man.
We're excited. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, man. As we did in show one with the hockey stick, a little bit of history, because weren't Bauer the originator of the first sort of complete riveted blade boot lace-up scenario way back in the 30s, around about the time I was born, before you say it?
Exactly. You know, just taking what essentially was a boot and something as novel as attaching a steel blade so they could skate across the frozen pond or to get where they were going, and mm-hmm. sort of morphed into... You know, we're very fortunate to have about 78% of NHL players in Bauer skates, which very exciting.
That's good.
Yeah, and it's true. I mean, when you go to a sporting goods store, even when you look at the skates, you guys are still, you're still there too. Like, how much, I mean, you don't have to tell us this because maybe this is, it doesn't make a difference, but how much market share do you guys have?
Like 90%?
Yeah. What are you guys like? Are you really up there? Like, are you like about 90-something percent of the market, Bauer skates? I don't mean all equipment. I mean just skates.
Yeah, it's not quite that high, but it's relatively high.
I know it is, man. All right.
For those of you who can't see Craig's face,
yeah,
it has got a grin.
Yeah, he's
the size of.
It's like a Cheshire Cat grin. Like, yeah, the rest of them disappeared. The smile stayed there.
But it's not. There's no arrogance.
No arrogance.
It's just, you know what? We're really pleased that we have this slice of the market. So you've gone through the perforated chassis phase, am I right? And now you're on to oven baked. Heat molded skates with carbon fiber. Am I right? Because that's something I could never have imagined was happening.
Well, you know, before you even get into that, just give us a breakdown of like the history of a skate. Hockey has gotten so much faster.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, I'm not going to profess to be like the biggest hockey fan, but I have always been a fan. I am a Philadelphia Flyers fan. Thank you very much. Yes.
We won't hold it against you.
I know you were going to say that. I knew you were going to say that, you know, but we are a team that is steeped in the tradition of hockey. Okay. A lot of history there. My Broad Street Bullies going all the way back there. The orange and black forever. But anyway, when you look at these older clips, and you look at hockey from back in the day, these guys are not moving nearly as fast as they are right now. Is that because of skate technology advancements? And if so, can you give us kind of a breakdown as to what has happened to skates and why hockey has become so much faster?
Yeah, it's an interesting question. I think definitely part of it is the athlete and how they train, because I think it's that portion of the game has significantly evolved. But from an equipment standpoint, you know, we came out with the Vapor 8 skate in 1997, which was a game changer, because prior to that, every skate on the market was traditionally a black synthetic leather, very traditional, were all made similar. And the Vapor 8 skate was a one piece quarter. It was, you know, roughly 20% lighter than any skate that players had seen out there. Mm. And instead of having that traditional lacing profile, it was more aggressive. So players could really not only flex forward more easily, but they had a better feel for the ice because there was less interference between their foot and the blade.
How much do players talk to you about the transmission between the ice and their own foot inside the boot? So do they talk about that? Is that, as you say, so vital to them to be able to feel intimately what's going on beneath them?
Which is funny because you hear that from like race car drivers about their tires, how the tires give the road a certain feeling. Is that the case, what Gary just said about the ice and the blade and the skate?
That's actually a great analogy, because you wouldn't want to put, Formula One tires on a Pinto. So
absolutely,
you know, you're talking about these elite level athletes, and sometimes it's hard to articulate what they're feeling. But I think any time that, you know, when they take those first three steps, they're crisper. They feel like the energy transfer is pure, and we're eliminating the slop that comes from a skate that is either loose fitting or too bulky. Then players not only feel more responsive, they also feel more agile, because as they're crossing over or running into those quick stop and goes, their ability to move their feet and articulate their ankles quicker is also part of the benefit.
So how have you managed to eliminate that slack within the boot itself?
Well, especially in our high-end skates, we use a manufacturing process that's called 3D compression molding. So if you look at the skate from the rear, it actually mirrors, you know, the actual shape of your foot. So the ankle bones and the articulation of the heel, and the beauty of the curved composite materials that we use is you can take that whole skate, put it in a skate oven, heat it up in about 3 minutes, and you can further shape that material around whether it's a bone spur or any specific nuances of someone's foot, so they have that purely customized fit.
It's a bespoke wow. boot for the elite players.
Exactly.
They must love you. That's, I mean, we're talking Cinderella. This is absolutely fabulous. I don't know any other elite sports where that attention to detail for footwear actually takes place.
Well, you know, let's take it one step further. So an often overlooked element is the blade. So what's below the boot of the skate?
Yeah.
And we came out with a technology a couple of years ago called Lightspeed Edge. And what you can essentially do is there's a little trigger and you pull the trigger on the blade and you can remove the steel. And what we're seeing is because every player, much like the blade of a stick, has preferences on their sharpening hollow or whatever rocker, they can essentially go to the bench, pull the trigger, remove the steel, and put in a new one. And so, there's players so who have what you two to three sets a game.
What you have done is kind of like in the NFL – and I'm sure any real football fans will know this, and probably in any other sports where they use cleats, you can change your cleats now. You know, if the field is sloppy, then you can change your cleats and you put in a longer, deeper cleat. If the field is dry and kind of dirt-like, you want to put in a shorter cleat, and so that you can get a better feel for the ground under your feet. So you can do that same thing for the player with the blade.
Well, you can do it on ice conditions, and there's also the dynamic in hockey where a player will go crashing into the net or into the boards or unfortunately break their steel and lose an edge.
Yeah.
So it's the combination of both, and we're trying to cover for all those factors. So it's a great advantage for those players who, you know, if they're not scoring a goal and they need to change something up, that's an option. Or if they lose an edge during the game, they're not wasting – you know, 5 minutes or a couple shifts, they can change it, you know, in 20 seconds.
And when you say lose an edge, it's that sharpness on the blade itself, right?
Exactly.
And, now, and most, that's how in tune a player is, that he will know the edge has gone on his blade.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I don't skate, so I'm clueless. But that's how you talk about the transition of knowledge between the ice and the player. It's so intimate.
That's insane that the fact that you will know, like, wow, my skates aren't, I've lost, my skates are dulling up. I gotta get a better edge on my skate. That's pretty wild.
Yeah, and I think in its purest sense, what we're trying to do is create the sensation of having your bare foot with a blade attached to the bottom of it.
Wow.
And if we can create that sensation on the ice and have that sort of energy transfer happening, then that's an advantage for the player.
Let me ask you one last question about the anatomy or the design of a blade itself. So I've seen that the blade is actually not a flat metal surface. It's a little curved, hollowed surface.
Yeah.
Can you tell me why is that? Why is that? Why is it shaped like that?
Well, I think, you know, it's sort of curved in both ways. So you have a hollow so that because you skate on both your inside and your outside edge.
I gotcha. So it's like having two blades on one blade.
Yeah, it's almost like you can imagine skiing turning left and right.
Left and
right. Similar phenomenon. So depending on your skating style, some people, it's almost like a ballroom dancer. You have, whether you're big or small, some people are quick on their feet and move more fluidly, and some don't. So you can really fine tune that based on skating style.
What next? You've advanced the sport so far with the equipment. What next without giving away every one of your secrets?
Well, you know what? I think there's a couple things. I think we're really taking a closer look at how do we take customization of equipment to the next level?
Wow.
Because we are seeing not only advantages by reducing their weight, but we're also looking at, because hockey's a game of agility. So it's not like speed skating, which is more like NASCAR. We're more like Formula One, where there's these quick accelerations, change in direction. So the ability to fine-tune that equipment. I think the other aspect is technology and how technology is integrating with equipment. So, you know, players are looking for feedback not only on their biometrics, heart rate, pulse, sweat, things like that, but also if you could know – either as a training tool or on ice, how fast you're skating, your location. So is your positioning sound if you're a left winger versus a right winger?
Right.
So I think we're actively looking at how technology can be infused in equipment to give players not only an advantage performance-wise, but also to help them become better players.
Wow. So let's switch gears for a quick second when you talk about helping players. I am still just flabbergasted by the fact that the hits in hockey are just so devastatingly difficult to watch. I mean, these guys flying across the ice, sometimes at 30-something miles an hour, wham, hitting one another. The collisions many times are far greater than what they are in football. And you know, football has some of the most spectacular collisions that you will find. What do you guys see in terms of helping players protect their noggin when it comes to, you know, taking those kinds of hits?
So I think there's kind of two exciting things that we have in the works. I think one, you know, if you look inside a helmet compared to, you know, a helmet 6 or 7 years ago, they've changed dramatically because what we're seeing in the game is you have these low energy impacts, sort of a player getting bumped. You have high energy impacts, which are sort of the bigger hits and collisions. And then you have sort of rotational impacts, which are an element of a lot of different types of hits. So when we're looking at technologies in helmets, whether it's a suspension system, there's multiple different layers that are sort of made to absorb and dissipate the energy from and manage all of those different types of impacts. So that's one where we're able to simulate, you know, rotational hits and all those different types of impacts in our lab and recreate exactly what's going on ice. I think the second part to that is, you know, we're coming out with a technology this year in the Canadian market called NeuroShield, which is essentially a collar that players can wear around their neck.
Mm-hmm. Sweet.
And what it's doing is actually simulating, if you can imagine what a woodpecker does and how many times a woodpecker hits a tree, and you got to wonder how there's no sort of head injury related to the amount of force it's applying.
Mm-hmm.
You know, being able to essentially maintain a slightly higher blood volume around your brain.
Okay.
No different than than when you're coughing or you get up in the morning and there's more blood flow.
Yeah.
What that does is act as almost like a bubble.
Yeah, you're cushioning from the inside of the head itself.
Exactly.
So that's insane.
Technologies that can protect from the outside and
from the inside. Yeah. Well, when I say insane,
I get the way you meant it. Yeah.
That's awesome. I mean, that is something that can actually span all sports where head injuries can be a problem, right?
That's exactly it.
Game changer.
That is a game changer.
Yeah, so we applaud you. Anything that can protect an athlete, particularly in a collision sport like hockey, absolutely to you and your technical and engineers and all the little science bunnies you have there.
Yeah, good luck with that one.
Fabulous.
Yeah, let me tell you something. I'm going to keep an eye on that because the moment you guys break through on that, I got to buy some Bauer stock.
Craig, once again, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you for your time. Thank you for allowing us insight into what you do with your company. And we wish you all the very best. And we hope to have you back in the future.
Gentlemen, it's been a blast. Thank you very much.
It's very kind of you to say. Thank you so much.
Wow.
What we learned.
Yeah, man, that's some great stuff right there. I'm super excited.
Another break. When we come back, we will have a defenseman, Ashley Johnston, from the New York Riveters, captain, as well as being a mechanical engineer, sports and science combined in one person. Stick around. We'll be back shortly.
Spring Black Friday savings are happening now at the Home Depot and also at your front door. Get spring savings delivered to you with free delivery on over 2 million items. Everything you need for spring cleaning, patio decorating, and front yard gardening sent right to you. And if you need it fast, get same day delivery on thousands of products like fertilizer and seeds to keep your yard looking beautiful. spring your way with Spring Black Friday Savings only at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Order select in-stock items by 4 p.m. subject to availability.
Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Welcome back. I'm Gary O'Reilly.
And I'm Chuck Nice.
And this, of course, is Playing with Science. And today we've been exploring the science of skating and collisions in the fast and furious world of ice hockey.
Did you like that? That was my...
I did.
That was my shushing of the ice.
Elegant.
That's okay.
Yeah.
Enough of that.
Happy?
Yeah, I was happy. Cool. I had to do it.
As long as he's happy. Joining us now by video call is Ashley Johnson, captain of the New York Riveters.
Yes.
Ashley, welcome to the show. Absolutely fabulous. Because you're not just a hockey player, you are a mechanical engineer. And if Bill Nye was here, he would be in the not worthy position. He would absolutely adore you. So welcome to our show.
Thanks for having me, guys. I'm really excited to be on.
Yeah, it's very cool. Let me ask you, you know, first of all, such a wonderful marriage of science and sport. How did you get into hockey? Because, you know, it's a strange sport, as far as I'm concerned, for a young girl to say, you know what, I'm gonna play hockey, unless you're Canadian. You know,
so I am Canadian.
Oh,
so
ta-da!
Okay, well, there you have it.
That's an answer.
So I was basically born with skates on.
Yes, you were. Yes, you were.
Looking at both sides of you, did you bring any of your mechanical engineering thinking to your game?
I play a lot more of a strategic game, I'd say. So, you know, simple things like I love using the boards to make a pass because things like, you know, the angle that you pass the puck into the boards is the same angle that's essentially going to come out at. Things like
Newtonian
that.
Newtonian hockey.
Nice.
Yeah. So that's definitely a big one, as well as just simple strategic plays, like set plays. I love things like that. They just really work out well. It's like one big game of risk.
All right, cool. So when you look at your background in robotics, which, you know, before I actually say that, we should let people know that you lead a robotics team as well as leading the New York Riveters. You are also leading a robotics team. And I believe while you were in school, you developed a prosthetic that actually grows with a child who has lost a limb. Am I correct there? Is that the right way I'm saying it right?
Yeah, that's all correct. So at my work, which is a company called PVA, I lead a industrial / manufacturing engineering team here. So we basically do a lot of work on the assembly line, how the robots go together. And then while I was in college, I developed an adjustable prosthetic prototype. So with the idea being that as children grow, the prosthetic would fit the stump a lot better because it would be adjustable in essentially every asset.
And before your invention, your innovation, children basically had to buy a new prosthetic every few years as they grew, right?
Yes, that's correct. So think of it like a shoe. Essentially, you don't have the same shoe size for your entire life. As you're growing, you're continually having to buy new shoes, except for prosthetics are exceptionally more expensive than shoes. On top of that, you're spending a lot of money for something that doesn't really totally fit you. It's kind of like wearing shoes that are half a size too big or half a size too small, just because of how much the stump swells throughout the course of a day.
So let me ask.
It's interesting. If you think about a teenager, the growth spurts that you can go through in the short space of time, you know, it could be weeks and a month. And there you are. You're back down there buying a new one. That really must. families must love you.
There are families that just love you.
Yeah, for sure.
Do families just stop you in the airport like, yo, we love you? Like, that's got to happen.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
No. No, definitely not. It's still a prototype, so it's still something that has a long way to go before it comes a commercial product.
Well, I saw it, and I think it's an ingenious design, and I just love the way what Ashley did for those. Since I don't want to talk about it without explaining it, though, and I hope I'm explaining it correctly. But you use like a bladder that it can be inflated the same way like you pump up a shoe.
No, I'm with you.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And then there's an adjustable strap around that, and then the same way that you if you think of the crutches that have the little pin in them that allow for different heights on a pair of crutches. You've done that with the stem of the prosthetic for like a leg. And so the person can, it can literally grow with that person. I think it's ingenious. I applaud you. I have to say, prototype or not, I have a feeling it's going to work and you should be very proud of yourself.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
So let me ask you with this. When it comes to the innovation that you find in putting together something like this and leading a team of robotics, are there any parallels that you can draw to being the captain of a professional hockey team?
Yeah, for sure. You know, science, leadership, it's everywhere. So when you're leading a team in industry or leading a team on the ice, it's essentially going to be the same thing, kind of focusing a group of people towards one common goal, whether that common goal is, you know, building a robot, building a prosthetic, winning a championship. It's really just uniting everyone and kind of trying to bring out the best of everybody so that you all fit together as one big puzzle and can cohesively achieve your goal.
So at the moment, you've got a couple of big games on the horizon. Have you got a semifinal of a playoff? And is it the Isabel Cup?
That's correct.
So your leadership skills can't be doubted then, Chuck, can
they?
No.
By the way, Isabel Cup's so much better of a name than Stanley. Just saying.
Do you ever think they were married? Isabel and Stanley. Anyway, I'll ask you what you think your chances are, but that's kind of a leading question, and you might not want to answer it, so I'll understand.
I'm going to knock on wood, but I think we have a good chance. You know, over one of the things we've been talking about is throughout the season, really peaking at the end of the year. So peaking during the championship season. So we're playing our best hockey at the right time.
Sweet.
And I think trajectory has definitely been right on that course.
All right. Let me ask you about when I look at your physical play, you know, you're somewhat taller than most women, period. A little bit taller than many of those on the ice with you. Is that an advantage in hockey or a disadvantage? And how do you use it or overcome it, depending upon what it is?
Yeah, for sure. So most people see me, so I'm 6 feet tall. And the first question that they have is, oh, you play basketball or so I kind of missed the boat on that one. I'm actually awful at basketball. But for hockey, it has its benefits just in the sense that my stick is a lot longer than most other players.
Okay.
So with that, my reach and my poke check can kind of overcompensate for the faster, smaller females who are skating around. Obviously, having very strong quads and a lower center of gravity is really beneficial in hockey. But I kind of get to have the upper end in the sense of that for the couple steps that somebody might have on me, I gain it back by having a foot longer stick. So that's definitely one of the big ways that it's helped me.
Is there any other ways that you've, because of your physique, adapted yourself to the game of hockey and found a way, because you obviously are quite a good thinker, found a way to exploit that as an asset outside of the length of the stick?
Yeah, for sure. So also like body positioning, just because I am bigger. If I have proper body positioning, I can typically really use my strength, my side, to overpower a smaller player. That's definitely been a huge one. And then also just, again, the mental side of the game. So if I know where the puck's going to be before somebody else does, then I can get there. I get a head start.
Right.
So whenever you have a head start, you have a much higher chance of winning. And also at the same time, you can almost say using a little bit of probability in there and understanding that if somebody's momentum is so much and if they're going so fast, then the chances of them getting there first, okay, well, maybe I should go over here instead.
So that's the science thinking. Probability, the working out of the vectoring of where, when. No, I need to be here. Pop, right place, right time.
Nice. So let me ask you, because you're known as, and I have done a little bit of reading, and it's been said several times in anything that's written about you, shut down defenseman. I'm going to say shut down defense person. Okay. Yeah. What is necessary to be a shutdown defense person in the game of hockey?
So I think exactly what I was talking about before, basically the calculation of knowing where people are going to be beforehand is huge. Because then if you're able to meet them sooner and take away the time and space, if a player has a lot of time and space, they have a lot more time to think. And then that typically will result in them producing a better play than they would have if they had to make a rush. So same thing, if you're doing a math problem and you have all the time in the world, you're probably going to get more likely to go to the right answer than if you have a 30-second countdown clock.
Gotcha.
So yeah, so that's a huge component of
Ashley is outthinking her opponents, Chuck.
There you go.
Yeah.
And you know what I love is the fact that the way that you said that is very humble.
That's
you
know, it.
Very humble. It's not like, because real answer is, oh, I'm smarter than you. That's, see, here's the real deal. I'm smarter than you. I'm outthinking you on the ice. That's what I'm doing.
That's not Ashley. That's just, that's the whole personality. All right, let's flip it outside of you and we'll turn it two ways here. What technical advances have you seen in hockey since you started to play? And what sort of technical scientific advances would you like to see come to your sport?
So definitely one of the biggest ones has been the sticks.
All right.
This have been absolutely, so now they're kind of a, so originally you had the wood, your typical wood stick. Now it's a lot more of the fiberglass. Actually, some of them even have Kevlar weaved inside of them, some of the Bauer sticks. So from that composite, you're basically getting the best of both worlds where it's structurally sound enough to be a stick and not fall apart on you, but you still, when you have your force going down, can get that flex, and that flex what makes your shot a lot more powerful. And additionally, one of the things that has been worked on a lot is the feel of the puck. So not only are you getting that that flex factor, but also as soon as the puck's on your stick, that you can literally feel it all the way up the shaft to your hands.
What's your preference, mid or low flex point?
I like the low flex point just because I find it's a little bit better for how I shoot. Just because I'm taller and I typically don't bend my knees as much.
Yeah,
having that little extra bit at the end of the stick really helps the whip factor. So when your blade's coming through.
Have you got your hands on those new Bauer skates that are heat molded and have the carbon fiber little trigger blade things? Have you got your hands on those yet?
Yes, so I have a pair of those. Absolutely, I love them. I think that they're amazing, especially the heat molding factor of it.
Yeah,
really does like wrap around your foot, so it feels.
Do you feel now wearing a boot like that and being able to feel exactly what's beneath your foot or feet?
So if you think about it, you're skating around on like a a couple millimeter thick blade on ice. So it's incredible to be able to have that sort of agility that boot allows you to have, as well as just even the science behind the metal on it, that you're melting the ice while you're skating. And that's how you're truly moving is a pretty cool factor. If you want a hard skate, you feel your blade afterwards, you can actually feel a little heat coming off of it.
Sweet. Nice. Well, you know what? You are, I can't tell you just how impressive you are just all across the board, being somebody who is a leader in mechanical engineering, mm-hmm. a leader in sports, a person who is an innovator. You're just impressive all the way around. You should be very, very proud of yourself. I want to go and kiss your parents and tell them that, you know, they've done a fantastic job. And, you know, I want you to
Love mode, aren't
you? I am. And I want you to call my daughter and let her know that, you know, everything that she wants in this world is possible. And we're just so happy that you came on the show. Thanks so much.
Ashley, you're an inspiration, and we wish you and your team the very best of luck in your future games. And you're elite in both the field of science and sport, and that's exactly what playing in science is all about. So thank you so much for being on the show. It's been fabulous.
Yeah, thank you guys so much for having me. This was great, I really enjoyed it. So thank you very much.
Pleasure's ours.
All right.
Welcome. Thank you. So, Chuck.
Yes.
Physics.
That's our show, yes. Physics.
On ice.
On ice.
Alan Hache opened our minds to everything that goes in with Slapshot, what we can find out, physics and science on the ice. Then Craig Desjardins lets us inside the secrets that go into Bauer products.
Right.
And then we have an inspiration of a player, a leader from the New York Riveters.
You know, I think overall it was a great show. That's what I'm going to say.
Mm-hmm. I'm Gary O'Reilly.
I'm Chuck Nice.
And this has been Playing with Science.
Spring Black Friday savings are happening now at the Home Depot and also at your front door. Get spring savings delivered to you with free delivery on over 2 million items. Everything you need for spring cleaning, patio decorating, and front yard gardening sent right to you. And if you need it fast, get same day delivery on thousands of products like fertilizer and seeds to keep your yard looking beautiful. Spring your way with Spring Black Friday savings only at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Order select in stock items by 4 p.m. subject to availability.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.